Hey, welcome for episode 3 of the Monochrome Podcast. This podcast is a product of Salt Community, where it's our mission to encourage, equip, and inspire the creative and technical communities serving in the local church. So what is the Monochrome Podcast? What is it for? It is for people who are like us. We are the Salt team, and we are the ones who wear black, the ones who serve behind the curtain and often found working in the shadows. And it's for you guys who feel like that too, and who do that kind of work. So I hope y'all are having a good day, whether it's the morning and you're starting off your day right listening to this podcast and joining us for some fun and exciting discussion, or maybe you're using us to like, just breathe and like offload your day, and you just need some friendly voices who get where you come from while you, I mean, what is the word? Not detox your day, but you know, just unload everything you've been dealing with in the day.
The commute home.
Decompress. There it is. Thank you. Maybe you're decompressing your day. Yes, on the commute home. If that is you, welcome. And maybe you're just grabbing us during your lunch break. I don't know. Whoever you are, welcome. We're so glad that you're joining us. Today on this episode, we got some news for you. We're going to talk about what's in our cart, some of our favorite things that we're shopping for right now in our team. We're going to have a staff meeting moment, which is kind of a new segment for us today, talking about some staff meeting activities that we do as a team that maybe could help you and your teams or just help you be productive in what you do. And then, of course, we've got our creative challenge to wrap things up on our episode, because we always want to leave with a spark of inspiration, of creativity, and challenge you to try something new. So let's kick things off. For Salt News, Kaylee, what have you got for us today?
I have something that I'm maybe not excited is the right word, but I think it is something that should be talked about. It is actually having to do with TikTok, which I know is huge, and music and trending audio. But I'm not going to take too much time because I really want to hear y'all's thoughts and perspectives of this conversation. So Universal Music, they have sent an open letter. This was back in January, about pulling all of their music from TikTok. So that is including some of our favorite artists like Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo. That includes Christian artists. And so the reason that they stated in their letter that they are pulling this music from TikTok is because they were concerned about appropriate compensation, protection from harmful AI, and online safety. And so my concern, and I'll just come out the gate saying concern, is a lot of churches use trending audio, especially in the Christian music space, to get engagement on their pages as far as socials. And so I'm really wondering what this is going to do for our community, for our content creators in the church, outside of the church, the people who follow us as individuals, because I know that we use this as well. And so also my question is, what is this going to do to the music industry as a whole moving forward? I have done some other research where people like Sony are actually not going to sign artists who don't trend on TikTok or Instagram first. So they won't even consider an artist for their label unless they trend. So really what we're seeing is socials are changing the music world, which mm-hmm. is a big space I know for all of us, for our community. So I really want to open it up to thoughts, questions for our group.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think, Caitlin is the TikTok-y guru here, but I'll give my two cents real quick and then you can go, Caitlin. But I think one, like, we're not going to see trending audio stop, obviously, on social channels. So if anything, I think you're limited by what you can choose. And so as far as like from the social media side, you'll still be able to do what you do. I think it really just affects the artists a lot, which is really unfortunate and a huge bummer for them. And if you are an artist or you're creating music, it's something to be aware of like what labels you go to or how you get your music out there if it's going to be available on these platforms, you know, that used to be a given, and now maybe it's not so much of a given. The second thing I'll say about the Sony thing that you mentioned, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, but if you have to be trending to have your audio or to be signed by Sony to get an album and all that kind of stuff, it basically makes it to where you only need one section of your song to be good. And then the rest of the song can be whatever. But as long as you get that trending bite, that little sound bite, then you it changes how we make music and how we produce music and how we think about writing. So I don't think that's necessarily for the better either.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm worried to see what that looks like and if that ends up actually even being sustainable for them.
I feel like we could have an entire episode that goes like 2 hours just on this topic because
100%.
This mm-hmm. affects TikTok. This affects artists. It affects your church's account in so many ways. I'm going to start with your church's account. Like I have a very decent following. I had a video go viral on TikTok for my author account because I'm an author and I publish novels in addition to working at Salt. And those videos that I now have that I used, if I used any music from a Universal labeled artist, those videos now have no audio. And not everyone keeps up with this kind of news. Not everyone is like keeping up with what TikTok's doing. They're mostly, I mean, let's be honest, y'all are wearing a lot of hats when you work at the church. And so you forget to like keep up with always what's trending or what's going on TikTok. So if you don't know about this, like a lot of people are going to see all these videos with zero audio and be like, what is wrong with this person's account? They don't know how to use this platform. And so it makes us as like content creators, you know, you at your church almost look bad, which is really sad. And you don't want to have to go scour those videos and find new music to put to it. But it almost feels like that's what people have to do because I don't know if you guys know this, but TikTok, they don't just circulate the newest stuff. Like, and they don't date things anymore. So if I'm looking at a video, let's say that Keith posted, it doesn't show the date. So I don't know when he put that up to know how old that video is. So I think it definitely affects the church account and how it looks or how it's perceived by people who don't know about this kind of stuff going on. But on the bigger scale, I think this decision by Universal really impacts so much. Like it's a big decision and we're either going to see companies follow them or go the opposite way like Sony. The book world is doing the same thing. A lot of agents don't even sign you unless you have like a really big TikTok following because they want you to still do the bulk of marketing. Agencies don't want to do it for you. Publishing companies don't want to do it for you. And so groups like Sony, I mean, that's really what I thought would trend and be the bigger norm than what Universal has done, you know, where you have to have the major following before you can be signed on as an artist. And I think even for the creative and technical person in the church listening to this, it's important because we talk at Salt about why your church should produce new original music, why you should be putting out albums. And this definitely affects those worship teams that are trying to put out albums to get signed by maybe a label. I don't know if that's always the goal for people producing music. I don't know the worship world as well as like Kaylee and JT do. But it's a huge factor. I mean, your church could go viral and that could bring so much attention to your church because of original music you put out. Here in Nashville, Belonging Co., you know, is putting out albums all the time and it helps their church. It helps bring recognition to what they're doing, how they're helping community, get people in the door. So it matters a lot. Sorry, I went on a tangent there.
No, I love it.
No, it's okay.
Keith, go ahead.
I was just going to add that I wonder if this isn't more of like a really aggressive negotiative tactic by Universal.
Oh, it's all about the money. Oh, yeah.
They kind of pulled the plug because maybe they thought TikTok didn't think they would do it. And now that they've pulled it, they're waiting for them to come back to the table and say, okay, what number can we actually make this deal on? Because I agree with the assessment that I think that the trend is more in the Sony direction. And if Universal is going to do something like this, this doesn't seem like the next step in music. So I feel like there's some negotiation posturing going on here, even though, I mean, they've made it official, but it doesn't mean that they can't come back to the table and renegotiate again. It just may be that they needed more leverage.
That's true. Sorry, Kaylee, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was actually going to wrap it with my 2 cents because I just brought the news, but I actually have a couple of, I'll keep my opinion short on this, but being in this world, being a songwriter, it really changes a lot of perspective for me. So the goal in my mind was always, as an artist, was to get signed, right? And as I've grown a little bit more in my skill and as things like this are coming out, I never want to be signed. I will always be an indie artist, I think, because I don't want people to have that much control over my craft and my art to be able to say, well, we can pull it from any platform at any time. I think as an artist, as a creative in the space, and as a Christian, that doesn't really feel very Christ-like or wholehearted. And I know Universal as a whole isn't, but they have a section of that. And I think too, it really opens a whole other conversation of copyright, because the reality is I can go record Olivia Rodrigo on my own audio, upload it, and it would be an original audio from Kaylee. It wouldn't be Olivia Rodrigo through UMG. And so I think there's a lot of copyright issues that can come with that. That is really sad for the artist, I think. I mean, I would never do that. Olivia is my girl. I don't personally know her, but I think we'd be besties. So if you're listening, I love you.
I would love people listening to this podcast. Like, I think that there's going to be definitely people trending your way, Kaylee, same idea. Like, people are going to stay indie, but for like the church folk who are like, I can't find Chris Tomlin. I can't find Carrie Job songs anymore. It's already difficult to find like those Christian artists. So if you're listening to this episode, please do like an Instagram story or a TikTok or something tagging artists, Christian artists, like safe music that can still be used. Like, I feel like that's just helping out your fellow churches and your fellow creative and tech church workers be able to find that stuff to use for marketing and tag us in it too. Salt community, because we need that, you know, clean music to use a lot of time too, because it's tough to find that sometimes. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to cut this short. This is a big topic, but like I said, we could like go for 2 hours talking about like just what's going on TikTok with this. But one of my favorite segments that we do on the podcast is always what's in our cart. My love language is gift giving. So I love hearing like the fun new things you guys are shopping for, buying, how it affects our community. Keith, you've got something real interesting in your cart we got to talk about.
What's in your cart? That's my little jingle for it.
UMG, well, sign Keith.
Not owned. It's not owned by Universal, so we can play it as long as we want. So my cart, I went a little different direction than you guys. I know that a lot of times we're going to find more techie, kind of cool, like, you know, just exciting things in the cart. But because I have been a pastor in ministry, I feel like it is important to let you in on my sneaker game, okay? Preachers and sneakers, here we go. I've got Puma. They're the Puma Men's Cavin 2.0 sneakers at the high price of $60. Let me tell you about these.
Hold on, let me spell that right for everyone here. Like Googling what these crazy shoes must look like. That's C-A-V-E-N, Cavin.
Yes. And if you want to put the promo code in Keith at Salt, you can get 0% off of your purchase. So I look, here's the deal. These things are some bad boys. They're gorgeous. It's got a very subtle gold logo, just enough gold to kind of flash that you're somebody, but not too much to act like you're trying hard. All right. It's got a nice black swoosh, but they're predominantly white, which is my favorite style of shoe is some white shoes. Love them. Let me tell you, at the age of 38, one of the greatest selling points here is that there are soft foam inserts. Yes. How soft are those foam inserts? I don't know, but like the softer the better at this age with my Amen. Back. And then here's the thing. They are 2.0s, making them twice as good as the Cavin 1.0s. So clearly they've improved on their product. They've worked out the kinks. This is a shoe I should own. This has been described at Amazon as a classic 1980s basketball silhouette enhanced with supple leather details and a standout stacked midsole. Makes for a trainer that's guaranteed to make its way into your list of all-time favorite footwear. You have sold me on your product. I want your Pumas.
Not the supple leather.
Preachers and speakers. This is an affordable shoe too, right?
Sneakers.
What did I say? Right.
Yes, preachers. That's right.
Be a good steward of your money.
Gosh. Preachers and speakers.
You got to be financially responsible.
That's a different Instagram channel. Keith, you are definitely the ideal client for these.
Amen.
These are definitely designed for ex-youth pastors that are reaching into their very old age and still trying to be relevant, but having a rough go at it. So these are definitely for
this
you.
This is the anyone elder millennial Air Force One.
Yeah, yeah. These are elder millennial Air Force One.
Here's the deal.
If you guys look up a picture of these, you're thinking New Balance, you're thinking, yes.
You're thinking giving orthopedic.
Yeah.
No, they give me very like Reebok feels here, you know? I'm a big K-Swiss fan. Like, I like the white shoes. Here's the deal. I need some support from our community on this because everyone's giving me a really hard time about my Pumas. I really do want you to look these up. These Puma Caven, C-A-V-E-N 2.0s, four men with the gold little accent logo and the black swoosh, white predominant. I want you to look at these, and then I want you to defend me in the socials, okay? I need some support.
Well, and I think it's important to point out that Keith and Caitlin here, we are millennials, pure millennial, whereas Kaylee is right on the border there of millennial, Gen Z, and JT is Gen Z, so it's very funny to hear. So what would the Gen Z equivalent be? Like, if you guys were to recommend a shoe that would replace this, what would it be?
My go-to is always Adidas shoes.
I think so. Kaylee is saying UGG slipper
been there,
boots.
Done that.
Are you wearing UGGs,
I'm
Kaylee?
Wearing the platform. This is not my suggestion. It's just a very Gen Z shoe that I'm wearing currently.
Are those house shoes?
These are the
slippers.
Goodness, these are the platform are ankle Uggs, but my Gen Z trending shoe would have to be the leopard print Adidas Sambas. I am not a Sambas girly, but these the I would buy. They are 10 out of 10.
I'm actually wearing a pair of
Sambas.
You heard it. You get the Pumas.
I'm wearing black and white Sambas.
Sambas are trending like the Stanley
trendling.
Cups.
Trendling. We love a trendling.
Mm-hmm. Here's my question, Kaylee. Are you wearing socks or not in your Uggs?
I will never wear socks in any of my shoes other than Doc Martens.
So you just like to smell like dirty feet everywhere you go.
How am I going
to
wear socks?
Everyone who wears Uggs without socks, they smell sweaty and gross.
Preachers,
all the time.
Preachers and sneakers, do you wear socks in your shoes?
Are they even a page?
Yeah, if you wear, yes, they are. If you wear socks in your Uggs,
JT, you gotta throw up
on the socials.
You gotta throw up a poll.
If you don't,
stories.
You should. Yeah, you should quit your job and probably move. You know, I don't know. To
whoa, hot take
somewhere else.
Guess I'm leaving Salt. This has been fun.
Gosh. Each year, Salt hosts the Creative Conference for the Church. It's a chance to be equipped, inspired, and connected with others who do what you do, and in person, with inspiring main stage sessions, practical workshops, and so much more, like delicious food trucks and creative art installments. We want you to join us. So check out salt2024.com for details and to get your tickets. All right, I'm going to transition us into a little bit of an educational moment here, not about socks and the scientific effects of what they have done or don't do to your shoes. Every Tuesday, our team gathers for a staff meeting. And so this is kind of a new segment of the podcast where we talk like a SALT staff meeting moment. But we know that some teams struggle sometimes when you're not whether you're technical or you're more of a communications creative side of person, maybe on the leadership side. You need sometimes just these little tidbits to practice as a team or to learn as a team. You, SALT team, my team, I have been doing these little activities since the new year, and I'd love to hear your feedback, whether it be positive or negative. And I have not asked them this before, so this is, I don't know, we'll see how my heart handles this. What have y'all thought of the activities I have been bringing to staff meeting? They've been kind of like vision boarding and how to be more productive, how to prioritize, time blocking, things like that. But hot take, how do you guys feel about those?
So first off, this is a really brave move for you to just 100%. Throw this out there and let us honestly react.
You know, we're supposed to challenge ourselves and get out of our comfort zone.
Exactly.
So.
I love it. We're practicing what we preach. So here's the deal. The vision board, I'm too much of a perfectionist to do a good vision board. We know that because when we had our 10 to 15 minutes to create one, I pretty much still had a Canva template with a few photos and a little bit of text. So that's not really my thing, but I got to tell you that the time blocking that we've worked on has been a game changer for me. I've used it in the past, and recently, due to your leadership, kind of reinstituted that time blocking. And it just helps me so much better because I'm so ADHD that I'm always jumping from one project to the next, back to the other. And everything is kind of like partially done and things aren't getting completed. Mm-hmm. But when I'm time blocking, it puts my mind to rest that there is a time to do that thing and it is coming. It's in the schedule. And if I let it be then I can give it my full attention and complete that project. And so I feel like for myself, it's already increased the productivity. So that to me has been my favorite thing so far.
That's awesome. Okay.
I will say the activities have been very good. They're engaging. They're fun. And they're educational. All the things that we strive for here at the SALT community. So yes, they've been. The time blocking for me as well, Keith, has been very, very helpful, especially when it comes to creating things. I need to get in the zone. And so I can kind of pre-plan out like, hey, I need 3 hours just to do this video project make these different posts or whatever it is. Cause then I can really kind of get in the zone, or I can also like prep the day before. If I know I'm going to work on a few different video things, I can go ahead and have those files ready so that the next day I'm not waiting on them to sync. We use Dropbox and it usually takes a while for them to sync. So that helps with that.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I loved the vision board. Mine was very SpongeBob themed. I don't know how I got there, TBH. Mr. Krabs was
it
flossing.
Also had a GIF.
Yes.
It have a GIF on it.
Yes. Mr. Krabs flossing with a dollar, which is my whole mood. But I am like full on creative, full spirit. If I could just like live in a hut and paint and write music for the rest of my life, I would. So while it's not my favorite thing to have structure, my personality, I need it. So it has been super beneficial for me of like creating healthy goals, because I'm like, I'm going to go to the moon tomorrow. And it's like, well, you can't go to the moon tomorrow. Like, how are you even going to get money to build a rocket ship? And so I think this has been really helpful for me in that. While some days I don't love it, it's very beneficial and I like it.
Well, thank y'all. That was very good to hear. I know I have been in many different jobs over the past like 12 years. But one thing is that reoccurring, I've been in leadership roles. And even though, let's say it's been 10 years, I've been in leadership roles with different companies, it is always a little intimidating and a little scary to walk into a meeting and be like, okay, I want to try something new, or I'm going to tell you guys how to work better. Because you don't want to step on toes. You don't want to assume no one knows how to do their job the best way. But if you're a leader, or maybe you're on the communication side of your team, hopefully this is helpful to you, because you are not alone. Like, our teams, I feel like we need the reminders. Like, y'all have heard of vision boarding. You've all heard of time blocking before. But I know I had never done vision boarding for work and what work goals could be, or how to seriously set goals and not just be like, here's my wish list of things. So I know I was like, I as an employee need this right now. I need these practices again as reminders and as healthy steps. But some people have never heard of some of this before. So if you ever have like productivity stuff or little lessons you can teach in a staff meeting, I think they're super useful. And just to help out our listeners, if you're like, where do I even start? Here's where we started. Our first staff meeting of the year, we did how to set goals. And it's this simple. Talk to your team about how to actually set goals that matter. Again, so often a goal is a wish list item or a dream of how you wish it could happen. Like, Kaylee wants to go to the moon. All right, great. Well, for this week, set a goal, but it can't be, I want to go to the moon. You have to start with step one. So I always say to our team, you know, make your goals quantitative, make them clear, and then make sure there is a deadline. That is a well put together goal. And again, maybe you've heard this before. It might just be a big reminder, but great. We all need that reminder. So let's say going to the moon is too big of a goal to start with. Yeah, we wanted to start a podcast this year. That was a goal. You know, that's how the goal started. We want to start a podcast.
I think going to the moon would have been easier.
Oh gosh, I'm going to do a podcast though. It's more practical. More churches might start a podcast. We want to go to, we want to start a podcast. Our goal turned from that into we want to complete 16 podcast episodes this year. So we have a number, 16 episodes. We have a deadline this year. And in my, in what I would say is clarity, we wanted to create a podcast with episodes. Now, obviously, we then broke that down. We broke that down into goals for each week to make sure we got there in a timely manner. We set goals like, hey, first podcast be released by this date, you know, things like that. But I would challenge you, if you're having your team set goals, have them set them right, create them well. And walking through that with a team in staff meeting or even during performance reviews or something, I think kind of changes the game. And we'll have more staff meeting moments where we kind of talk through some more things we've done as a staff that I think have helped productivity and helped us grow a lot.
So speaking of setting goals and finding new methods to do things, our creative challenge for this week is if you're a designer, a videographer, a drawer, a writer, a lighting tech, whatever you're doing, audio, whatever you're doing, look at your normal way of doing things, right? You normally do things on your Behringer, or you normally do things on Photoshop, or maybe you normally do editing in Premiere Pro, whatever it is, and find a totally new method, a totally new program to do what you would normally do this week. It's just as an exercise. You don't have to publish it. You don't have to put it up on the screen so it comes out terrible. It's all good. This is just to stretch you. So maybe you're in Photoshop and you're normally designing things there and you're creating your own assets in Adobe Illustrator. Try switching over to something like Canva or Photoshop Express, which are both free versions online, and they're web photo / graphic editing software. And try making something similar to what you've been making for church on there and see if you can do it. Maybe you can't. Maybe it doesn't have the tools, but give it a shot. And try using those new tools. Or maybe you always edit in Premiere Pro, or you're like crazy and always edit in After Effects. Try maybe using DaVinci and using their free 30-day trial to test out their new system. Or maybe you always mix analog on your board. Try switching over to your iPad and see if you know how to pan and do all the things you would normally do on a weekend. So this is just to stretch you. A lot of times when you try new tools and try new methods, you learn some things about how you've been doing things, or you learn some new techniques that you didn't know before, and it also just breaks you out of your regular routine. So you might be able to create things that you didn't know you could create before, or do things quicker or differently in a way you didn't know was there before. So that is your creative challenge. Make your graphic, make your lighting, make your design, your audio, whatever it is. Take a video or a picture of it, share it on social media with the hashtag Salt Creative Challenge. We're going to share ours, and then we'll check out yours, and maybe they're all terrible and we can all just revel in how awful everything is. But I think it'll be a fun thing for us to try.
Well, y'all, thank you for joining us for episode 3 of the Monochrome Podcast. If you don't know, there is a lot more going on in the Salt community as a whole. I feel like the podcast is like the tiny little basic step into the community, but we want you to like fully immerse yourself. So check out the monochromepodcast.com, or you can click the link that's in the show notes. Subscribe from whatever platform you're watching so you don't miss future episodes. Trust me, we got some good stuff coming along. Also, sign up for our email list because, again, there's a lot more going in the community. We want you to be involved. We got webinars happening. We have a conference coming up. Just so much going on. Again, link in the show notes. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you join us, or having you join us, for episode 4 releasing next week.